Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. Beginning tomorrow, Tuesday, June 18th, and running through June 29th, the 18th annual River to River Festival will bring art to unique spaces around Lower Manhattan. Presented by the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council, the River to River Festival is completely free to all visitors. The 2019's program will focus on themes of reflection, introspection, and imagination amid the hustle and stimulation of a city like New York. Joining us now to tell us more about the festival's programming is Executive Director of Artistic Programs at the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council and curator of the River to River Festival, Lily Chopra. Lily, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So this is your first year as curator, right?
That's correct, yeah.
What were your goals? What did you hope to accomplish?
Well, I love the legacy of River to River. As you may know, this festival started after 9/11 as a way of bringing back people into the neighborhood of Lower Manhattan, making sure that everyone knew it was safe to be back. And mm-hmm. So it's all free. It's very site-specific. It happens in many public spaces. So I really love that framework for the festival, and that's what I really wanted to keep, this openness and access to all, and everything is very available at different time of the day. And the one thing that, especially working in Lower Manhattan, the financial district, and this kind of increasingly fast-paced environment that we all live as New Yorkers, it was this opportunity of opening the possibility of people coming by this neighborhood to having these moments of reflection, of just bumping into a work and suddenly shifting a little bit the rhythm of their day. So it's more an invitation to listen with this year's edition. And it's not like we're forcing any of the works into that theme, but overall, this is something that we're interested in exploring for New Yorkers and inviting all New Yorkers into the festival through this lens.
I have to imagine it's really interesting to see because there are so many parts of Lower Manhattan that are so old and have so much history. And then to see these installations right up next to them, I can imagine the juxtaposition is also part of the experience.
It's totally right. And suddenly you're seeing for the first time potentially a building or a detail, and then suddenly it becomes part of your everyday routine that shifts a little bit of your perception of the architecture of the neighborhood, but also your presence within it, right? So it's really about offering that possibility of being in that moment, that present for just a minute, and then maybe that stays for a while. And then there's this artwork that you may see in your commute over and over again, and that may, you know, invite you to think about something in a different way, whether it's the architecture, your day, or your life in New York.
What is, you know, I see this in the press material that it says sort of non-traditional spaces. What does that mean exactly?
Well, we're very well known as a festival for site-specific works. And so that's the ways in which we like to invite artists and the ways in which they're conceiving of their work for Lower Manhattan, for these specific buildings. So, for example, there is this project with Carol Becker and Mark Epstein, and they're coming in on the 27th for a talk, for a conversation, and it's in Federal Hall, which is this incredibly important architectural building for New Yorkers. It's really where the democracy in the U.S. started off, and yet it's very grand and completely intimate. So we like to play with this sense of scale and the building and the architecture to create these events. And that's true for many of the works that we'll be presenting. So, for example, we're opening tomorrow with Pam Tanowitz, and it's the first time that she's actually creating a work that is site-specific, and so it will be outdoors, and it will be for Rockefeller Park in partnership with BPCA. And that was a very important location for her and for that particular work, because it's nature, because it's going to happen at sunset, because there's this great legacy of this park where Merce Cunningham was there before, where Tisha Brown presented her work there. So there's also this great legacy. And in the same way, we've worked a lot with the Downtown Alliance around the Yoko Ono project.
Yeah, tell me about
and,
this one.
And so this is the Reflection Project came about exactly in this way of thinking, there are all these great buildings. There are all these great also spaces that could be used as a way of presenting artwork and reflecting on it. And so with this notion of slowing down and reflecting and imagining, Yoko Ono's been known for creating these works for decades. The one that we all know, it's Imagine Peace, but there are many more. And so the idea was to work with Yoko and her team in selecting a number of her most iconic works and maybe lesser known works that are all text-based work to be in many, many locations in Lower Manhattan. So suddenly you see in your day whether it's on a screen in the Oculus or in the Fulton Center or in these incredible buildings that you were mentioning, historical, gorgeous building and their facade. And suddenly all this work pops up. So it's Dream, it's Remember Love, is Have You Seen the Horizon Lately? So suddenly it becomes part of your daily commute for the time where these works are being presented. So we like to think about it almost like urban acupuncture, which has been that conversation with Yoko. And in addition, at the Seaport, we will be presenting one of her most recent participatory work at Color Refugee Boat, which is her response to the refugee crisis. And so in that instance, we're inviting people to come and add color to a white cube gallery and add their words and poems and whatever is inspiring to them and reflecting specifically on that particular situation.
My guest is Lily Tropa. We're talking about the River to River Festival, which opens tomorrow and runs through June 29th in downtown Manhattan. What about this piece, Ditch?
Oh, Jennifer Munson is one of the leading choreographers, and she's been developing this work for a number of years in really being connected to that particular location of Pier 35. And she's been developing lots of work and workshop and around the river. And so that's the ways in which Jennifer works. There's always this kind of slow pace and connection with nature and the ways in which she's contextualizing her movement and related to the sound of the boats on the river. So it's really created for this particular location of Pier 35, which has just opened very recently. And so we're inviting everybody to come for sunrise, which is quite early in June and could be quite beautiful at the time of the day where it's so quiet and very few people probably tend to be on that particular location at that time of the day. So it should be quite beautiful.
What day is that?
So that is on June 23.
June 23rd. That sounds amazing. It's sunrise?
It is.
That sounds fantastic. Okay, Ernesto Pujol is a social choreographer. I don't know what that means. What is a social choreographer?
Yeah, so Ernesto's work has always been in response to the society we live in, basically, and as a way of creating beauty, but in this kind of equity way, right? Like where it's a shift that he's creating of our perception and this opportunity of relating to one another in different ways. And so he's done that through many different types of works in the past. And for that series, The Listeners, that's something that really emerged after the past election and where he felt the need to turn the table around, where it was not so much about himself performing, but more listening about what people had to say and creating that that new environment for connecting to one another. And so as an artist, that's his response to the world we're in right now. And so the ways in which he's working is that with performers, it's these workshops around how do we listen? How are we present for the other person? Mm. And so he's created this context at lunchtime where there's going to be these listeners and people can talk to them, or they can be just these listeners listening to the soundscape of the city. And then the listeners at Federal Hall will be an opportunity for more of a one-on-one, not conversation, but listening with a specific listener. So he creates this different environment to kind of shift, again, like the relationship of the performer to the audience and make it much more about what the audience may need at that moment.
It's so interesting. I think about New Yorkers being so busy, and I'm curious from your experience, what does it take to make them slow down and engage with the work?
It's so interesting that you're asking me that. Do you know how it all came about? I was new to LMCC. I've been there for a year now and very new to the financial district. I would never go that often into that part of town. And as you said, like it's very fast paced, and it's specifically in that area of New York City. And then suddenly there were two women walking side by side very slowly on the sidewalk. And And it reminded me once again in this kind of very mindful way, like suddenly it completely shifted my own walk into the city. And I could see around them, like suddenly there was a shift, whether consciously or unconsciously, that was happening. And so I don't think it takes much, actually. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's like these small gestures and these small moments. And again, like it's more an invitation to listen and then creating these little opportunities of connecting in a different way that I think is exciting through the festival.
Any other events that I haven't asked you about, which you think really you're very excited about as a first-time curator?
Oh my goodness, choose your favorite child. Well, I think something else that I just want to mention also around the work that LMCC does is that we have artists working in this unusual environments, right? Whether it's a vacant office space and we have these residency programs and other artists that can stay in other kind of bizarre locations or unusual locations and be there for long periods of time. So in this notion of slowing down, it's also offering artists this incredible opportunity of staying in one location, developing, incubating new work for extended periods of time. And so, for example, Kamau Ware has been in the Seaport area for the past 2 years with Black Gotham Experience. And for him, creating this incredible tour about the untold history of Africans coming into New York and this kind of the wandering also of suddenly reconnecting in a different way to the city, or Sarah Mitchelson that's been developing her work for months in this also very unusual locations. And so it's about also the opportunity to offer time and space for artists right now in New York, which I feel very passionate about, and supporting the creative process in that way, you know, through grants and through residencies and mm-hmm. through presentations. But really this creative process and giving that a time and the resources that artists need is also that is something that is very important to us at LMCC, and certainly in the ways in which then it translates into the festival. So we have the open studios that will be also part of this year's edition, and an opportunity to see the work that artists have been developing for the past 9 months. So these long periods of incubation, I think, is something that is critical to artists living in New York right now.
Open studios are always fascinating. They're always a great visit. Yeah. If people want to find out more information, where can they go?
On our website, lmcc.net, and then you'll see River to River, and all the information is there.
Lily Chopra, thank you so much for the preview. Have a wonderful festival.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Coming up, author Essie Ejogen talks about her latest novel, Washington Black. Stay with us.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.